The title of today's sermon is Retirement Plans. Now, we've all noticed that society is changing rapidly, but it's not changing for the good. It's becoming a godless society. Back in the beginning, God intended for families to grow large and, at the same time, to nurture and to support one another. And nations, the nations that we have today, are simply families that have grown large. When we're young and we grow up and as we marry and build our families, we expect to have children and we expect to feed and care for those children and to provide for their needs while they're growing up. We expect to provide for them because they're not able to work or to perform for themselves or to provide for their own needs. Under God's plan, when we get old, however, and can no longer provide for our family, the roles become reversed, and we should be able to have our children look after us in our last days. Indeed, we will see from the scriptures today that the elderly, after years of hard work, and serving, and sacrificing, are, according to God, to have honor, to have respect, and yes, even a measure of privilege in their lives. You can put these down in your notes. We're not going to go there. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. You shall rise up before the hoary head, it says in King James. It's just the one with the gray hair is what it means. And you shall honor the face of the old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. So Jesus Christ says that it is proper to give this honor and this respect to the elderly. And then a very similar scripture in Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So there's always that disclaimer that you have to live a good and godly life, to receive that honor in your old age. But as men grew away in this world, grew away from God's intended design and purpose for the family, there was a subtle shift from the responsibility for the elderly away from the family and to the government, to the state. And the popular sentiment today is that government, not God, will provide cradle to grave institutional care for the population. It's becoming expected today, even as a right. Everyone has a right to cradle to grave care. More and more it is becoming expected that it is the role of government and not family to care for the elderly. Today it has become commonplace for the government to have social programs that oversee all the needs of its aged citizens. Social Security, Medicare, pensions, retirement plans now have replaced the family's responsibility to care for their elderly folks. I was looking at one of the Church of God websites the other day, and I ran across how they suggested that the elderly be treated. And it said on that website, send them a box of cookies or a greeting card, it said. And I thought to myself, horrors! Has the Church of God abrogated its responsibility to teach how God would have us provide for the elderly? Our responsibility goes much further towards our parents and towards the elderly than a box of cookies and a greeting card. In all fairness, send them a box of cookies is a rather shallow sentiment if that's all that is done. Now, I hope that that's not all that is done. Let me ask this question. Does an occasional visit to the nursing home fulfill our Christian duty to the elder, to the elderly? And I would hope that you would say, no, I don't think it does. So let's pose this question. Whose responsibility are the old folks? Who needs to be concerned about the elderly in their old age? We in God's church need to be careful not to accept society's view, society's way of looking at this question. The Bible always has the answer. That's where we go for the answers. By studying God's holy word, we can learn how God looks at situations, and then we can try to order our thoughts to be like God's thoughts. We want to look at situations the exact same way that God looks at them. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So we look into the Bible to see what God's thoughts are. God looks at the whole picture differently than we do. How are people being cared for and treated? Now, God, in no situation, likes to see people oppressed and suffering. That's throughout the Scriptures. But God also has a lot of respect for the elderly. We'll see that concept throughout the Bible. All too often in today's world, the elderly are neglected. They're emotionally neglected. Sometimes they're physically abused. They're virtually discarded in too many cases. They're even consigned to the forgotten isolation of nursing homes in many cases. For example, what has happened to all the men and women who were once an integral part of the Church of God? Back in the old days, the radio Church of God, the worldwide Church of God, when they were much younger and full of vibrant health. Where are they today? What has happened to them? Has the greater Church of God followed the world into believing that the way to deal with the elderly is to forget about them? Does the Church of God think that it's okay to deal with the elderly the same way that the world does it? Or does God hold us, the brethren, to a higher standard? The sad thing is that all too often, members of the church follow along with treating the older members rather shabbily, even within their own families. Let's go to John chapter 19, brethren. Let's begin by looking at an example, a poignant example that Jesus Christ himself gives to us. Now, Jesus knew that he was going to die in his 30s. He would only live a few years, 2-3 years past being 30 years of age. Jesus began his ministry when he was about 30, so he would have died when he was about 33. Knowing that, Jesus Christ was concerned about his own mother. Mary was still alive and probably still going strong. What, how old would she have been then? You know, somewhere in her 50s, maybe her early 50s or mid-50s, something like that. The Bible does reveal that Joseph was no longer in the picture. Joseph would have been the one to naturally take care of Mary, but he was no longer there. He must have died, but the Bible is silent on that point. So who would look after and care for Mary in her declining years, with Jesus being gone? Jesus was the oldest of all the children. Now, there were multiple brothers and sisters, but most of them would have been in their 20s. The oldest ones could have been, you know, 31 or 32, something like that, but most of them would have been in their 20s. John 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, that's Mary, and his mother's sister, who was Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Mary, a very popular name in those days. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. Now that's why John always does it. He doesn't put, you know, the apostle John there, because that would be giving himself too much deference. And so he just said the one that Jesus loved, but that is the beloved Apostle John. We'll see he uses that a number of times in his writing. Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." All right, he's saying, "All right, listen to me, Mom. I'm fixing to make a very important declaration here." Verse 27. Then Jesus said to John the disciple, "Behold your mother." You know, talking about Mary. And from that hour, the disciple, that was John, took her unto his own home, took her into his own responsibility. John became fully, legally responsible for Mary's welfare and guardianship. It's very interesting to me that God would show us these things so clearly in the Bible that even, you know, taking care of business on the cross, Jesus was concerned about his own mother's welfare. He was honoring his mother. And John would not have written this witness in the Scriptures for us if he had abrogated his responsibility to Mary. John took care of Mary. And even very late writing the book of John, he puts this subject in the book. So we know that he took care of Mary. Now, why didn't Jesus pass it on down to one of the other brothers that were younger than him? It could be that they were too young or unproven, you know. And Jesus knew that it was God the Father's prerogative to call who he would into the church. And Jesus' brothers and sisters were not converted. Jesus loved John. And that means that John thought about many things exactly the same way Jesus did. They had a great camaraderie between them. And Jesus trusted John with the care of his mother, extending into her old age. Jesus knew that John was going to live a long life. This is something else that's very interesting. Jesus knew a lot of these details. He knew that most of the disciples, the apostles, would die in martyrdom very shortly and early in the New Testament church, but that John would live for a long time, and therefore he would be there for Mary in her old age. Indeed, some of Jesus' own brothers were martyrs, and so that could be a reason that he didn't pick them as well. John the Apostle was serving in writing well into his late 90s. Now, John 21, there's an allusion to this fact here in John 21. Here in John 21, Jesus has just told Peter, you're going to die, and here's how you're going to die. And we pick the story up in verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, again, John the Beloved, following. They're walking along, which also leaned on his breast at the, you know, at the Last Supper. You remember when they were trying to decide who was going to betray Jesus and said, Lord, which is he that betrays you? Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? So Peter, being somewhat of a busybody right there, and Christ is not put off by it, he wants to know, okay, so I'm going to die, spreading out my hands and so forth. How's John going to die? And Jesus, you know, he doesn't say, well, it's none of your business, but he says in verse 22, he says unto him, you know, if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Yeah, so that's the way he put Peter, answered his question. If I will that he tarry till I come, that means what, you know, I might decide that John will stay alive until the day that I come back. That's not what he said. He says, what if? Verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Hey, y'all, John's not going to die. Jesus said John's not going to die. Well, he didn't say that. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to you? And so, verse 24, this is the disciple which testifies of these things. John's writing this, and he wrote these things that we might know that his testimony is true. So we can see Jesus knew that John was going to live a long time. So Jesus gave John the legal responsibility of taking care of Mary for the rest of her life. We also know that Mary came into the church, and so did some of Jesus' brothers and sisters as well. In the church today, brethren, we have not done so well in providing for our own elderly. Remember back at the apostasy of the church, when worldwide went completely away from the truth. Many of the elderly brethren were not only scattered, they were also abandoned and forgotten, especially with regard to their spiritual needs, their spiritual care. Many of the men and women who were the spiritual and financial backbone of the Church of God back in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, they did many good works. They made many sacrifices. Were all but forgotten at the time of the apostasy, not only by the brethren, but by the ministry as well. Now, some have gone out to try to find these people and bring them to be a, you know, part of the flock and serve their needs. But how many of us heard the radio or television, whatever, heard God's calling, because of their, those old folks, their sacrifices and their offerings. You know, the fact that they were forgotten, especially by the ministry, that should not be in God's church. We, the members of the church of God, too many of us have been lulled into accepting this world's way of dealing with the old people problem. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We need to ask ourselves today, brethren, if God is pleased with the way that the elderly are shoved aside, shoved out of the family setting, and onto the back burner of humanity. Did God intend that we throw away the key on old folks, on our aging parents? Or did God intend that they remain a viable part of the families they work and sacrifice to provide for? God says that the aged members, especially of the church, have much to contribute, and that they are to continue to bear fruit even in their old age. We don't stop, even when we get old. Those gray-headed citizens, they have had vital experience. They've had, they have indispensable wisdom to pass along to their offspring, even to their grandchildren, to the younger, the upcoming generations. Yes, many old people have as much information in their head as a library. And some people say they can be just as boring, too, telling their stories over and over. Brethren, we are to serve the elderly. Validate them by listening to their stories. Respectfully, there is much to learn. Contrary to popular belief, the elderly have much worth. They are of great worth, not only to us, but in God's eyes. They're highly esteemed. The elderly contribute greatly to a sense of belonging, especially to the young folks. It tells them, I exist in a system where I will be around for a long time. I'll be loved and looked after and appreciated for a long time. And the elderly folks do need the young people as well. But the young also need the elderly. God designed it that way. You can put this one in your notes, brethren. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old, or even when she is old. So the scriptures tell us, you know, look, do not forget your parents, especially when they're old. Many elderly people have had good lives, pretty good lives, and they're contented with their lives, feeling fulfilled, and able to be involved. Many elderly people continue to have goals, their own goals, for the future. They're still working at things. Sure, their skills and their strength fade with age, but human value and dignity lie in who we are, not in what we're physically continuing to be able to do. The elderly are to be looked up to and respected, and not disdained ever or held in contempt. The benefit of the elderly to the younger families far outweighs their being an encumbrance or a hindrance to the fun and the mobility of the youthful set. When Moses gave us the book of Deuteronomy, the reiteration of the commandments to Israel, it was just before they entered into the promised land, he again revealed, this is from God, by God's Spirit, he revealed the promise of long life to them under certain conditions. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Honor your father and your mother. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged. Now we need to stop and think about that. But that says that in honoring your parents, this isn't something like a mystery. It's not something like a superstition. Oh, when you honor your parents, then it just happens that you live a long time. No, when you honor your parents, you build a society that is safe, productive, healthy, beneficial, and you have a long life because you honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord has commanded you, You know, that as means in the way that God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And you can also put in your notes Exodus 20 and verse 12, very, very similar the first time the commandments are codified in writing. Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Respect of the elderly brings peace and order to society. We learn to respect our parents. It teaches us, by extension, to respect other parents, to respect others who are in authority, to respect the elderly and so forth. Families are the building blocks of society. Now, that's falling apart today. And I fear that our young people today cannot look at society and glean from society the way God designed it to be. You don't see the respect for the parents. You don't see respect for law and order, any of those things. It is only strong families that build strong societies and strong and lasting nations. That is why the handwriting is on the wall for the Israelitish nations, because they have turned their back on these commandments of God. The lack of honor and respect quickly generates a breakdown in the fabric of society. You know, even most animals instinctively know how to care for the offspring that they give life to. There is a motherly love that God has built into mothers. But God has had to make a law. He has had to make a commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, for mankind to be aware of their responsibility to their parents and grandparents. It seems like our carnal nature can't figure that out without God making it one of His commands. Honor your parents. Have respect for them. Now, this commandment, honor your parents. When I was growing up, I thought that this was the little kids' commandment. I thought this is for kids, so that kids will know to honor their mama and their daddy. This is talking to grown-ups. This command of God is not for little children to make them behave or God's going to get them. Too many people believe that this command of God is kind of like an honorable mention a commandment. It's more sentiment of recognition is all it is. Brethren, this commandment, honor your father and mother, is the foundational building block of a civilized and enduring society. In Western society, we have forgotten our honored old folks, and we have reverted to a reverence for a youth culture. This world worships youth. And all too often, there's a disdain for those who are more aged and mature. People think in the world they just don't count. Their opinion is of no value. You know, there was a saying a while back that reflected this sentiment. They said, don't trust anybody over 30. Well, the ones that said that are well over 30 now. You often hear it expressed, and we may have heard it expressed in the recent elections, as let's get some fresh ideas. Let's get some younger people in government. Like, we don't need those old fogies who have no idea what they're doing. Now, I submit honestly to you that we cannot look at our government and say they know, you know, what they're doing. But the concept that fresh people with fresh ideas can completely throw away aged experience and learning is not a valid one. Youth, in its strength, its attractiveness, its health, its productivity, its independence, is practically worshipped today. When the elderly become useless, then they're often ignored, forgotten, and cast aside. Man has forgotten that he has a duty to care for the senior citizens who gave him his start. Nursing homes, extended care facilities have sprung up by the thousands across our nations. And all too often, they are simply storehouses for discarded humanity. Matthew chapter 6. It is too much of a norm. It's the way it is in this selfishness, this abject selfishness of society today. Our society provides for itself, itself alone, while neglecting the needs of the previous generation. Billions of dollars are set aside by those who are working for their own retirement funds. You know, and too much of the Church of God has bought into and accepted this world's philosophy that disdains the elderly as being unproductive. They're weak. They're useless. Now, I know in God's church we don't say that, but how much different is our view of the way things are going in the world? How much different do we think of our aging parents and the aging church member than the world thinks of old people? Let's find a home for them. Let's put them out of the way. Somebody can take care of them. And we'll go see them on Mother's Day and Father's Day and send them a card on their birthday. And that's it. You know, they'll be out of sight and out of mind. Many members and ministers, even ministers alike, expend much more of their resources on providing for their own retirement, their own retirement plans, than they apply. They don't apply those same resources to their aging parents. This practice of providing for one's own unseen, unforeseeable future, while at the same time neglecting the present needs of one's own family, is inherently and morally reprehensible to God. I'll show you that in the Scriptures. I read somewhere recently that this concept of retirement for the common man is a new thought. It wasn't even invented until around 1885. Matthew 6 and verse 19. The words of Jesus Christ. Here's how Jesus Christ says to do it. Now, this has to do with our retirement. It has to do with the care of the elderly. It has to do with the will of God and what God is going to do. And it's a matter of faith. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Now, what does that mean? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. It's pretty clear. Where moth and rust doth corrupt. You know, people can get at it. It can rot. It can wash away. It can burn up. It can be used up in inflation. And where thieves break through and steal. Anytime somebody's got a chunk of money, I don't care if it's in an annuity, a bond, you know, savings, CD, or whatever it's in, somebody can get their hands on it. And I see in that verse something that happens all too often today. Somebody saves all his money, all of his life, for his old age, only to have the lawyers in the courts take it away from them by declaring them to be incompetent. They're not competent to handle their own affairs. That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't lay up your money on earth where thieves are going to break through and steal it. And I don't care where you put it, they can get their hands on it. It is happening in a great many cases. There are lawyers that specialize in getting their hands on people's retirement funds. In effect, thieves break through and steal. Jesus says, look, instead of doing it that way, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do you lay up a treasure in heaven? You know, we don't send a check off to heaven. What we do is we become a part of the plan of God. We do things God's way. We seek what God would have us seek. Lay it up in heaven, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Where thieves do not break through nor steal. Can't do it, verse 21. And here's a good reason to do it that way. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your heart is on your own retirement, it's not going to be taking care of your elderly parents, looking after other elderly people. You know, your heart is going to be looking after your own retirement. And in today's environment, you know, you're going, oh, no, the market's going down. Oh, no, the market went up a little bit. Market went down. Your heart is where your treasure is. But if your heart is, if your money is not there, if you're taking care of your elderly people, looking after the elderly, that's where your heart will be. Caring, serving, learning to be like Jesus Christ would have us be. So God is saying, in effect, invest in godly stock. Now, some people say, oh, you can't take those words literally. So they put their money in the stock market, hoping for a big retirement. You know, that violates what God says right there. Let's go over to Matthew 15, just a few pages back. Brethren, it's a somewhat sobering thought, but in the apostasy we saw our church organization, let's not be confused, the Church of God will never die. Those who are called out by God the Father, they remain. But the organization that we thought, you know, the worldwide Church of God, we saw it fall apart completely. And for many people, they were crushed. They were confused. They were lost for a time. But isn't it interesting? We don't want to believe that it's possible for financial institutions to fall apart. They can fall apart just as readily as these organizations fall apart. God gave us the fifth commandment, honor your parents, to counter the totally carnal bias of a thankless culture. Jesus Christ vehemently condemned the practice or the tradition of neglecting your parents, which was commonly practiced not only today but in His day as well. Matthew 15 and verse 4. We'll see where the elderly were being neglected even at the time of Jesus Christ. Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Okay, strong words. This is Jesus, and he's quoting a couple of different scriptures there. These verses refer specifically to when parents become too old and could no longer support themselves. Verse 5. But you say, and Jesus is saying, here's what I hear you saying. You Pharisees, I hear you saying this. Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. All right, that's not a good translation. When I read that, I go, what? What did that say? It doesn't make sense. Let me give you a paraphrase. Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, whatsoever you might have profited from me, I have given as an offering instead. In other words, instead of providing for my folks in their old age, I use the money somewhere else. Jesus said, that is not honor, but dishonor. It's completely undoing the very purpose of the fifth commandment and holding yourself guiltless at the same time. Notice verse 16. And honor not his father or mother. He shall be free. So Jesus says, you know, you're just letting yourself off the hook. You're justifying your actions. You're putting money somewhere else. You hypocrites. Strong words. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. And it's all talk. Talk is cheap. But their heart, that's what counts, their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me. In vain, that means it's useless. It's gone with the wind that they worship. It's useless worship. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, they undid what God said to do. Honor your parents. They figured out a way not to honor their parents and said, we're free. We're okay with that. So we see that the problem of parental care, parental guardianship, and care of the older people existed in Jesus' day as well as today. Mark chapter 7. We're going to look at Mark's rendition of this encounter with the Pharisees. Jesus corrected the Pharisees, telling them that they needed to teach people to take care of the older folks. Mark chapter 7, let's begin in verse 9. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. I'm going to come back to this verse 10 and explain something in a minute. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, it's a gift by whatever you mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. In other words, if he gives his money in something else rather than his parents, he's got a way out. Corban is an untranslated Greek word. It's not a word that we use in English. But in Greek, it's still Corban. That's what it is. It refers to, appropriately, a temple fund or a treasury fund. I thought that was kind of interesting when I found that. It's money set aside in a fund. So what these people were doing is, rather taking care of their elderly parents, they were taking this money and, you know, putting it somewhere, and I'm sure their name was tagged to it in some fund that, you know, that could be used later. And you suffer him, or you allow him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. So he's no longer allowed to help his parents. The Pharisees were working against God, directly in the face of God, verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. So they did a lot of things like this that went totally contrary to the will of God. Now let's look back at Mark chapter 7, verse 10. Mark chapter 7, verse 10 again, for a better understanding. He says, "For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death." Now let's go to Exodus chapter 21. Whoever curses father or mother. Now I think, brethren, that most people, even decent people in the world, most people would never curse their parents. You know, and then they can say, well, since I've never cursed my parents, these verses do not apply to me. And so they get off the hook too. Everybody's for getting off the hook, see? Notice Exodus 21 and verse 17. And he that curses, in the Hebrew word there is Q-A-L-A-L. I don't know if it's kalal or qualal. Whoever qualals his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's what Jesus just quoted. Qualal doesn't mean curse like, I hope you go to eternal condemnation or something like that. It means to lightly esteem, to treat casually, to trifle with, not to be serious about your duty. That's what the word meant. Now, a lot of people are guilty of that. So Jesus, for Moses, said, honor your father and mother, and whoever lightly esteems his father and mother, whoever treats them casually, whoever trifles with them, whoever is not serious about their duty to their parents, let him die the death. So if we look at what these scriptures really say, it comes down to the fact that we better be careful how we're treating our parents. God says that it is contemptible. That's a contemptible attitude towards parents, who should be held in the highest esteem. So, brethren, we have to be careful not to accept the sinful behavior of this evil world that's all around us towards our older generations, in lieu of faith in God's way. Now, those are two different things. We can look at the way the world is doing it today and say, when people get old, we'll put them in a nursing home and forget about them, or we can do it God's way. But we have to have faith in God. It is simply a matter of faith. And I'll show you the scriptures to show you that it's a matter of faith. A matter of faith in God to perform His promises, to do what He says. It's either faith in God or faith in ourselves. Now, we can't have it both ways. God's law of honoring the elderly is designed to teach us essential godly principles. That's what God's laws are for, to teach us to be like God. Feathering a retirement nest while neglecting parents is faithlessness. And I'll show you that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus made it clear that the church and family members have a responsibility to take care of elderly people. Jesus is talking about having the faith to really believe that God's way is best and that only God's way will ultimately work out. Matthew 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I got this verse in there so that we can pick it up. Jesus Christ is saying, O you of little faith. You're worrying about what you're going to eat. You're worrying about the future. You're worrying about your clothes. O ye of little faith. Verse 31. Therefore, here's the solution if you don't want to just be standing there with little faith. Therefore, Take no thought. That means don't be overly concerned. Don't be overly worried. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Jesus is saying, don't make that your number one priority in life. Now that's hard to do, not to worry about how you're going to pay for your food or your housing. But Jesus says, don't worry about it because God, your Father, knows your needs. Verse 32. Jesus says, hey, everybody's like that. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. It's just normal to want, you know, food and raiment and housing. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And Jesus says, here's the answer. Verse 33. Most important verse we'll see today. Seek you, doesn't say seek the kingdom of God. It says seek you first. Make it your highest priority. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You know, the food, the water, the house. You know, you're not going to die. When's the last time you saw somebody starve to death in America? You know, unless somebody is abusing somebody and has them locked up somewhere. You know, there is help for people. Seek first the kingdom of God. And only we, brethren, who are led by God's Holy Spirit, have any hopes of finding it. This world is lost. They're going to continue to deal with the elderly as they always have. There, in a verse, is our Christian priority. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Verse 34. Therefore, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of the thoughts of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. You got enough to worry about just day to day. And put this one in your notes, brethren. We won't go there. You know it very well. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Visit the orphans and the widows. That's widows and widowers, men and women. That's the elderly in their trouble, in their needs. And keep yourself unspotted from the world. It says virtually the same thing. Seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Brethren, do you know how many people who consider themselves to be true Christians read these words and still proceed to build retirement programs while at the same time neglecting the emotional and physical well-being of their elderly folks? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a retirement program. I'm saying it is wrong to neglect the needs, the emotional, the physical well-being of elderly folks. God has a purpose for them. He has a place for them. He has a role for them. To omit them, to neglect them, is a terrible sin. In effect, they are saying that the way this world scorns, disdains, and disregards all the old folks is fine with them, making the commandment of God of none effect by their neglect and abandonment. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, rebuke not an elder. Now right here it's not talking about the ministry. It's talking about someone who has a lot of years. He's up, you know, 70, 80, 90. The elder would be a long span up there. Rebuke not an elder. You don't go up and talk ugly to him. You don't go up and put him down. In other words, you have some respect for what he knows, the decision he's making, the things that he's doing. And treat him as a father. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy, giving Timothy guidelines to give to the church. Treat him like your own father. Treat the younger men as your brothers, verse 2. And the elder women, this is the older ladies, treat them like mothers. The youngers, treat them like sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, the ones who have lost their husband. They have a special need. Jesus Christ took care of His widowed mother. This honor and respect, brethren, is to begin at home. But it clearly extends to the entire Christian community and beyond that. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4. Notice this. But if any widow have children, she has her own children, or nephews, let them learn first to show piety That word piety right here means respect and support. Let them show respect and support at home. And to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So Paul's telling Timothy there in verse 4 that your own family ought to take care of you first. That's the first duty. Verse 5. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. God even has a role for the widowed ladies to play, and that is to pray and to beseech Him. And that means something to God. God hears the prayers of the elderly, and it touches His heart. He has a special place in His heart for the elderly. Paul is telling Timothy the things that he needs to teach to the church brethren. Now sometimes, and you've seen it, brethren, when a Christian husband dies, he's been in the church, he's faithful in the church, and he dies, his wife does not continue in the faith. Now God is testing her to see if she too will stand for the truth. And sometimes as long as her husband is alive, it's easy for her to go along with the truth. And then when he's out of the way, then she gets a little frivolous, she gets a little wild, she gets a little mean, she gets a little condescending, whatever it is, but she goes into the world, the pleasures of this world. That's what Paul is talking about as he writes to Timothy, verse 6. But she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. She's spiritually dead. You know, she didn't stay with the truth when her husband died. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. In other words, you pointed out to them that they need to walk the straight and narrow way to be blameless. Verse 8. Notice this. Very, very important verse in today's sermon. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Brethren, that's why we can't overlook these scriptures. If we overlook our own, you know, we say, oh, I don't have the money for them. I don't have the time for them. And in today's world, it is very difficult because young people scatter. They scatter to the four winds. Sometimes they don't stay in the same state. Sometimes they don't even stay in the same country. They scatter. It makes it difficult. But the Word of God is sure. If anyone provides not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we find this concept of caring, and I'm using it here for the elderly, all throughout the scriptures. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 is the parallel scripture to Matthew 6 that we saw a moment ago where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek God's way first. You won't starve, you won't die, you'll still have a roof over your head if God be true. But Luke 12, he adds some points here. I started to say some good points, but all the points I find in my Bible are good points. Verse 15, Luke 12 and verse 15. This is Jesus speaking to them, and he says, take heed, beware of covetousness. That's I want it more than you want it, so I'll take it. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. So, you know, I think a lot of people measure their worth. There's a commercial right now on television that says, what's your number? And you see these people carrying these numbers, and some of them are extremely large. You know, $1,600,000, and I guess that's their retirement plans or something. Some of them have, they want to indicate on television, this is a little one, it's only $300,000. Set aside and so invest in whatever they're selling. I don't remember what it was. But God says man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That's not the way God looks at it. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So, you know, crops came in and he got rich. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I got so much stuff, I don't know where to put all of it. And he said, here's what I'll do. I'll pull down those little barns that I have, and I'll build bigger barns. And there I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'll have wealth galore. Now, brethren, these are some red flag warning scriptures. If I could wave the red flag here. This is a warning when Jesus Christ is speaking this way. Verse 19. This man says, "And here's what I'll say to myself. Here's what I'll say to my soul. Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. I got a retirement plan. I'll be driving, you know, big RVs. I'll be going to the Riviera. I'll take my ease." I don't see Riviera here in the scriptures. I must have made that part up. "Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." That's what the scripture says. And some people have that attitude as they approach their years. You know, they get to be 40, 50, and they go, "Yeah, I got to save up a ton, you know, for my retirement. I got to have a bigger bass boat and whatever. I've got to think about my retirement. But let the government take care of the old people." That is the attitude, not only in America, but Great Britain and Israelitish nations today. I don't know about the rest of the world. Verse 20. "But God said unto him, thus says the word of the Lord, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have profited?" You know, who's going to get your nest egg, you know, if you have a heart attack tonight? That's foolish, because you've been neglecting your duty. You didn't take care of the elderly. You didn't take care of their needs. You didn't care about them. You didn't practice pure religion. Verse 21. "So is he," or let me paraphrase this verse, "this is how it will be with anyone who saves up a treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God." Jesus says, this is the way they're going to all end up. They're going to all die, but they're not rich toward God. So that parallels the scripture that we just saw over in Matthew chapter 6. Okay, let's close with a few thoughts, brethren. When the kingdom of God is established over all the earth, Jesus Christ is ruling from his throne, he's reigning supreme, the elderly in those days will not be relegated to a life of useless neglect. That's not the way it's going to be in the kingdom of God. I like to picture what it's like with old people who have worked hard, sacrificed, studied, lived, worshiped God. They're of sound mind, sitting around telling the kids, "Here's how you bait a hook. Here's what the weather's going to do tomorrow. Here's the way you plant a seed. Here's how you tell when fruit's ripe." You know, and pass goodly things down, and even deeper things than that. They will not be neglected and useless. Brethren, the elderly, in God's design, make this world, make this earth a better place to live. They give an expanded sense of structure to the family unit. You know, today, the world wants to destroy the family unit. In fact, they don't even want to have one man and one woman, let alone one man, one woman, and children. Or then expand on that, you know, a family with children and the senior citizens and so forth. Satan is out to destroy the family. And one of the ways he is doing it is by destroying the elderly and destroying those of us in the Church of God, our understanding of the way it is supposed to do and what our responsibility before God is. Satan wants to destroy the entire family unit. Indeed, the elderly bring an added dimension to the structure of family life. And you go, "Wow, I didn't think of that." Well, we should know that. We should think of that. That shouldn't be something that's new to us. It's this world that tells us that the old people are nothing but a burden. They're nothing. They're going to pull you down. They'll take your time, drain your resources, and you'll get nothing in return. You know, even if they have Alzheimer's, even if they're incapacitated with a stroke, our serving them serves God's plan in teaching us how to serve. God's way works better than man's way. Now, that should go without saying. But who believes it today? God's way of life must be of the highest priority in our lives. The rest will take care of itself.